Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in to your home for everything Harry Combs here on ESPN 680, 105.7. This is Issel and Louis. We'll take you right up until noon here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Thanks for hanging out with us and making us part of your hump day Wednesday here during March Madness. Of course, tonight we'll have those games for you. Fairleigh Dickinson, Texas Southern, 6:30 on ESPN 680, 105.7, followed by Nevada and Arizona State. Avery, are you a Nevada or a Nevada person?
I say Nevada.
Okay. That'll be at 9 o'clock on all the ESPN Louisville stations. We'll talk about those games tomorrow. And a reminder, a little bit of a change in programming the next couple of days around here. You will get us as pregame for the NCAA tournament both days. But we will go to the NCAA tournament noon to 3 on all sticks. And then from 3 to 6, we'll go back to our drive time shows between the take and the drive. And then back to the NCAA tournament after that on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Of course, head over to ESPNLouisville.com. Check out the bracket challenge there. We're giving away 78 different things. So even if you suck, you'll still win something. First place, Gorilla basketball goal from Steepleton's. A TV from RGB, passes to Bourbon and Beyond, Louder Than Life. Tickets to Adam Sandler, who's coming to the Yum Center on April 18th. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors is handing out a tailgate gear and fan cave swag. How about that? I call it fan caves now because apparently man cave is... Is that sexist now? Are we doing that?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
VIP experience from TBT. I'll explain why I don't like the term man cave later, but it's not for the sexist reasons. Gift cards from Double Dogs, Bear Nose Pizza, Great Flood Brewing Company, Raising Cane's, and tickets to Holiday World and Ale 8 basketball gift basket and golf passes from our friends at Wooded View Golf Course. So there you go. Get in there. ESPNLouisville.com.
Now I have a question. Adam Sandler can fill up the Yum Center?
Okay, so yes, is the answer to that. The other part
I wouldn't think if you took everybody who saw Adam Sandler's last movie, you could fill up the Yum Center.
Ooh, okay. All right. We're doing this now. We will get to Bologna or Salami in just a second. Adam Sandler. When do you think his most recent movie was, Dan, and what was it called?
I don't know. It's one of those. They're all the same, so it doesn't make any difference.
Okay, so they did.
They're all stupid. Waterboy.
I think the most recent one was. Oh, come on, help me out. The Uncut Gems, is that what it's called?
I have never heard that movie, but yeah. I know it has to be after Bedtime Stories came out.
So Uncut Gems came out in 2019. If Dan had to guess what it did at the box office, what would you guess, Dan?
$44 million.
Okay. Do you want to guess Avery Dill? And no, it's not as much as Harry Combs would have paid Dan to go to school.
$30 million.
So it did 50, and it cost 19 to make. So I don't know if that actually is good enough in the world. But $50 million. And it cost what, $1 million to go to the movies now?
Yeah, is just that right, about. Dan? Well, it depends on if you get the popcorn.
That's right.
If you get popcorn and a drink, yeah, it's close to $1 million.
Is that the best thing about retirement, being able to just go to movies at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
It's up there, right?
Yeah.
Second hour of the
show.
Hey,
Louie, my day is over at 10 a.m. I sign off here. I'm free. You know what I have to do today?
Okay, hang on. You have to read your Bible.
Yeah.
You have to walk on the treadmill. Today.
Yeah.
You have to watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
You have to watch Jeopardy. You're going to watch two NCAA games.
Jeopardy isn't until tonight.
I'm going to guess you have to take a nap.
All of those things are yes.
Okay.
But the one thing I have to do out of the ordinary today is I have to go pick up my daughter because she's leaving her car to be serviced. That's what I have on my agenda for the rest of the day.
Can you imagine you're Sheridan and your first thought is, I'm going to call the guy who was the fourth leading scorer in basketball history when he retired to come pick me up so that I can drop off my car.
Let me tell you something. Those stats don't cross these kids' minds. They could care less.
All right, it's time for Bologna Salami. Play the music.
Okay. First question. Bologna or salami? Alabama will end at the Final Four.
So they'll make the Final Four.
Yes, they'll make the Final Four, but then they just stop.
Then it's done. Got it. Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
That's a good one. I'm going to go salami because I'm picking Alabama to get to the Final Four. I think Alabama's the best team in the country. That doesn't always mean they get to the Final Four, but I'm going to say they get to the Final Four. But I'm going to go salami because I think there are 12 teams that could win the national championship. So okay. I'll go salami on that one.
And that means someone out of the East would beat them in that game. So you have either Purdue, Marquette, Kansas State, Tennessee, or Duke beating them in the Final Four. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go baloney because you're
I think there's a couple of those teams. I think Marquette could do it, and I think Duke could do it.
There you go. I'll go baloney because that's a very specific game for them to lose. And if they're going to lose, they could lose at any other point in the tournament. Or, like Dan said, they could absolutely win the whole thing. So I will go baloney on that one.
Okay, next question. If Kenny does get the players, U of L basketball will make it to the NIT next season.
Okay.
Or like this coming season, however you want to word it.
That's fine.
That's an interesting way to put that, Miss Dill. If he gets the players, salami for sure.
Okay.
If he gets the players, I would say that would be the lowest expectation. If he gets the players, so. I'll go salami on that. Yeah, they'll at least make the NIT.
All right, I'm gonna do something I've never done before. I'm gonna pull up the NIT bracket
for this year.
Yes, because they've changed it so much that if you are a mid-major and you win your conference title but lose your conference title or your conference tournament, you still make the NIT. So it actually takes a spot from a team like a Louisville. In this year, you know, Wisconsin got in, Michigan got in, Villanova got in. Villanova got in going 17-16. So essentially you're asking me if Louisville goes over 500. Until I see something very different, I will go baloney on that. That would be such a marked correction of record from 4-28 to something like 18-14. Or 17-15, that is four times as many wins. And so I will Bobby V this one. I will let the cake bake, but if I have to choose today, I will go baloney.
Yeah, I think the interesting part of the question is if he gets the players. So to me, that question was more a reflection of Kenny's ability to coach rather than his ability to recruit.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
So that's why I went salami, because if he gets the players, yeah, then I think he can coach them up to be at least 500.
Got it. Okay. And I'll take your theory from this season that we don't know if he can coach or not, and I'll just lean baloney until it happens. How's that?
Got it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Baloney or salami? If LeBron is able to return this season, because it's a tendon injury in his foot. He will not return until halfway through the postseason. He's supposed to be reevaluated at the end of this month,
right,
but they're expecting it to be even longer for recovery.
Right. The Lakers... with the trades that they made and the people they got, you know who's getting a lot of credit for the Laker turnaround here recently is Vanderbilt, the kid from Kentucky.
Yep.
Because the Lakers are finally guarding somebody, and he's part of it. And if you look at this, Louis, they're playing better with the new players than they were with the old players, of one of which was LeBron. So I would say that LeBron is I say LeBron comes back for the playoffs, and I say that they make a little bit of a run, but they're not good enough to beat some of the top teams in the West.
They got to make the playoffs, man. I would. Halfway through. No, baloney. Again, you're giving me lots of options for other times for him to come back or not come back at all. And I think there's a chance he doesn't play again. I think a foot ligament issue for a guy his size and his age with that many miles is a way bigger deal than what they want to let on. And if they're not even evaluating him for two more weeks, I'll go baloney on that one.
Okay, next question. And I'm going to do a little preference beforehand. Oh, that's perfect timing for the music. Okay, so every time Kentucky basketball this season has lost by 10 or fewer points, their next game was a win. I printed out the record and I went through it and I did the math on each of those losing games.
Good girl.
That's almost like putting sound on the sound sheet. Keep going.
I know. Yeah. I just did it my way. And so on Friday, they lost to Vandy by 7. Ooh. So with that being said, bologna or salami, Kentucky will beat Providence.
I'm going to go salami, and I know all of the matrix with I think I read this morning that against teams that are in the top 29 of offensive efficiency, Kentucky's played 8 of those teams, and they're 1-7. And I think Providence is 19. So if you're going to go by the matrix, Kentucky loses this game. But I just think that given the fact that they lost in the first round, the first game last year, 15 beats a 2, I think they're ready to play. I agree with you, Avery. I think they snap back, and I think they win the game Friday night.
1-4 in their last 5. The only win for Providence was against a team named Georgetown. If people are not aware, they fired their coach.
They were very good this year.
They didn't have a great season. They just had the worst year-over-year record of any team in any conference in conference play the last 2 years. Their other losses were to 4 teams. 3 of them are in the NCAA tournament. So I will go salami that Kentucky wins on Friday.
Okay, and final question. Bologna or salami? IU will be a Sweet 16 team.
Second weekend, Daniel.
Yeah, that's another tough one.
So, by the way, Indiana's draws, just so we're all on the same page here.
Right.
They get Kent State the first game out of the MAC. And that's a team that can score, of course. It's a 13 you don't want to see on your line. Miami of Florida in the second game. They're playing Drake, who's also a nice team out of the... Are they the OVC? Drake
OVC? No, Missouri Bulldogs.
Valley, yeah.
There was another team that recruited me.
There you go, a little Iowa for you.
Drake Bulldogs.
Can Indiana get out of that group?
Yeah. I think this is a real down year. Remember way back before the season started, Indiana was the favorite to win the Big Ten because everybody said it was a down year for the Big Ten. I think they have gone out and proved that it's a down year for the Big Ten. So I'll go, let's see, they get to the Sweet 16. That's baloney.
I agree with you that it's baloney. I think Miami comes out of that little part of the draw. Indiana doesn't defend well enough the things that Miami does well. And so I will go with Miami getting out of that region. I do think, however, that Indiana beats Kent State to open the tournament. And by the way, I think that would be a massive disappointment not to get to the second weekend when you get Trace Jackson Davis back and Hood Schifino is going to be a top 20 NBA pick. It's totally, I don't want to say unacceptable, but it's whatever line the unacceptable's on.
Good job, Avery.
All right, thank you, Avery.
Right, even if we don't have any sound, good job.
Hey, I did research with the record.
No, you did a great. I mean, the question, the research about Kentucky and was excellent. Excellent job.
So I'm going to ask a question after I read the promo. Kentucky Fish and Wildlife post-game show Friday night around 11 o'clock here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and on the app. James Treble, Jason Entz, Mike Gandolfo, they'll take you through all the calls, texts, and you'll hear live from John Calipari. That's all on Friday. Dan, what happens on that post-game show if Kentucky loses to Providence?
Oh, they go nuts.
Do you think so, or did they get their anger out already?
No, they go nuts. Okay. I'd hate for Cal to hear that one. Gandolfo's not a big Cal guy either, is he?
There's two guys on that show that are not, again, they're not Cal guys, and so my sense is there will be a lot of happiness amongst the hosts. But you know, Streeter will be, he'll have to pretend he's sad. Because I mean, you pointed it out. He jumped off the Caltrain this year, too. So.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time.
So you think the callers will be angry on Friday night if they don't get it done?
Oh, absolutely.
Here's why I agree with you, and there's only one reason. Because it's going to be 11 o'clock and everybody's going to be lubed up.
Well, and you know, the only people that are going to call in are BBN Billy and his crew. Because they'll have something to really, you know, sink their teeth into. And so, oh, yeah. If they go 4 years, Louie, without winning an NCAA tournament game, oh, yeah, it's going to be nasty.
That is an incredible streak that's on the line for the program. It's an incredible streak. Matchup predictor, 67% UK against Providence. What do you think the get-in price is for this game, young Avery Dill?
Let's go $525.
Okay, $525. Dan, Greensboro, Providence, and Kentucky, get in price.
Who's the other? What's the other game?
Oh, good call. They're in the East. The other game there is Kansas State and Montana State. Because geography did not matter at all to the committee. I mean, zero.
Montana State had to go to Greensboro? I'll go $2.25.
$35. So, by the way, this is a great opportunity. I'll do an Avery. Shame on the selection committee making people travel that far. That even, like, you're screwing Greensboro.
To get their heads beat in.
Well, maybe, but also just, I mean, like, you can't afford to travel from Montana State to Greensboro. It's just not a realistic thing.
Yeah, that's like half the country.
Yeah. Half?
Right? At least?
It's like 75% of it.
Like I said, that's at least like half the country. I'm bad at geography. We've been through this.
Here's a little helpful hint. The Mississippi River's about halfway.
Well, I know where that is.
I don't know that you do.
I lived in Louisiana. I know where the Mississippi River is.
Fair enough.
But wait a second. The NCAA pays for all of that. That doesn't come out of Montana State's pocket.
Fine. I'm saying for fans to travel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got you.
We're talking about
you.
Get-in price. Yeah, right. I'm talking about fans.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
I just can't imagine, like, you know, yeah, because we mentioned who's out in Sacramento, right? And you send Princeton to Sacramento, but you send Montana State to Greensboro. Like, no. Like, flip them. Like, make one a 14 and make one a 15. Like, just do it.
They're worse at geography than I am.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, I know Princeton.
You're
on
fire this morning, Avery. Did you get a good cup of coffee this morning?
No,
yeah,
just...
I had coffee.
Actually, do you know what it is?
I had a great night of sleep, but I've also been up since 2 a.m., so I'm in a bit of a mood.
Oh,
the other part is she's cold, and that actually wakes up Avery. When she's warm, she sleeps. Yeah.
No, when I'm cold, I do fall asleep, but it's the hand warmers that are keeping me up and feisty.
Thank you, hand warmers. Or maybe I'm not happy with the hand warmers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
we'll decide later.
Oh, man. There's also this article on here, Dan, that I don't want to get to, but I felt like I had to put on here. What would an expanded tournament look like right now?
Yeah, I did.
Last night's games, by the way, showed that we don't need more teams. No, conference. We do not need more.
Because they were competitive and they weren't very good.
Correct.
It wasn't very good basketball, but they were close, so it was fun to watch. You know what? I am so against this. I didn't even read this article.
So, question for you, because I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter last night. Pitt's uniforms last night, letter grade.
Well, they were black, were they not?
Yeah, like super dark
blue,
I think.
So at least they were the school colors, unlike the NBA, who I mean, they're doing color schemes on uniforms that aren't even the team's
colors. The Pistons are wearing green this year.
Yeah. Anymore. But it's a hunter green. It's not a piston green. It's a hunter green. And I saw somebody the other night had yellow uniforms. I don't know of any NBA teams who have yellow as one of their colors.
The Jazz, right? That's about it, right? Or the Nuggets, too, right? Just in that rainbow.
Well, the Nuggets have a little bit, yeah.
Anyways.
B+.
Thank you. Okay, so I thought they were like BB-. And I saw people on Twitter just crushing them like they were the worst uniforms that ever happened.
And really?
I was like,
at least they were the right color.
Well, it's just it's a Pitt P, and then they got the number on the front and back. Like, what else do you want? Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. To be fair, some of the people crushing them, I don't trust their fashion sense. So it is what it is. I say as a person who wears the same exact thing every day.
I was going to say, have you ever looked around the palatial offices of ESPN Louisville? Looks like a homeless person convention.
Poor Avery. Avery's going to have to call HR after what just happened in that room.
I don't even know. I give up.
We don't have HR, do we?
Oh, yeah, we do. Nick Valvano just walked into the studio, or excuse me, into the producer's room. And Avery, do you want to describe it or should I?
I don't even know what happened, but he just randomly lifts up his shirt. I don't even know what led up to that.
Oh, man.
I have no answers.
Texter pointing out the Lakers have yellow in their uniform. That's a pretty good example.
Yeah, I guess.
It's always been an accent color for them, though, for sure.
Yeah. And that's
Dan, I'm
yellow.
Kidding. They wear the yellow at home.
That's yellow, but it's, I saw somebody the other day who had like bright yellow.
Yeah, like
leather.
The Mavericks wearing yellow for no reason or something.
Yeah,
like that, right?
Exactly. It's, I mean, it's not for no reason. It's so that they can sell more
jerseys, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I bought new coffee to put in my little press pot here, Dan. Not good coffee. I should stick to my Red Hot Roasters. Like, I really screwed this up. I should not have bought this coffee.
Why did you not?
I have to,
yesterday morning.
Yeah,
did you buy any coffee?
Well, I buy the whole bean and I grind it at my house. But you're right. I need to just buy a can that's already ground and bring it to the. You're totally right. Oh, no, no, no. I'm criticizing me. Don't worry. This is self-criticism for sure. Nick Valvano, by the way, wearing a Louisville River Frogs jersey that is covered in pizza. And so,
that's what I said. Homeless.
Nick only looks slightly homeless today. He's doing okay.
It's the hat.
It's the hat.
He said it.
Oh
earlier.
No, those hats
His
are fire.
His hair looks like a mess, so he threw on a hat.
Is the Pistons green antifreeze green, Dan? The story behind those uniforms is really cool. It's the old St. Cecilia's gym where everybody in Detroit, you know, like all the guys went and worked out and whatever else. But it's not like, it's just, it's weird. Gail Goodrich and Pat Riley look great in that yellow gold. I agree. The Lakers wear yellow. Just the Lakers wear yellow on the touchline. I love it. There was some team wearing yellow.
I would argue that that's closer to orange than it is yellow.
Really?
It's like a gold.
It's
so
goldy,
then it has the
I
orange.
Think, when I think of yellow, I think of like a banana.
Or mustard.
That's,
mustard,
that's
right?
Yellow.
Yellow mustard.
And
right.
Laker uniforms are not that yellow.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, they're gold. I think gold's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Issel and Louie, you're home for all things Harry Combs and Jersey Talk. Reminder of some stuff going on here as well. check out the Bracket Challenge, ESPNLouisville.com. Go check that out as well. The Bracket Challenge is presented by our friends at Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, KellyKentucky.com. If you need a job, go check that out, KellyKentucky.com. Seven County Services and Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. And so make sure that you check them out. Louisville women's basketball is in action against Drake. We mentioned that. That will be on Saturday, 7 p.m. network pregame with Nick Curran, play-by-play with Nick Curran at 7:30, and then a YMCA postgame show with Biscuit and Banta after the game as well. So go ahead and make sure you check those out. A text coming down the text line. I'm colorblind. No idea what half the colors are. I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. That's not something I should laugh at. More color talk next.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back to the final segment on this Wednesday morning. And, of course, this hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is simple. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030. Or visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
All right, so Texter wants to know, we talked about Dan's recruiting letters from all over the country. Whose signature was on your UCLA letter? Was it wooden or was it chrome?
No, I think it was wooden.
Okay. Do you happen to have any of those?
I have two, and I don't know why I threw them all away. It was, you know, one of those things where we were moving downsizing or something. I kept two. I have...
Man, I don't know if I could even guess. Is it one from Rupp?
Yep.
Okay.
I have my recruiting letter from Coach Rupp with his signature on it. And it's the letter is mimeographed. But the really wasn't a recruiting letter. It was he sent it to me at the beginning of my senior year, and it was as you would expect from Coach Rupp. It wasn't very humble. It was basically work, and I have that. I think it's upstairs. And it's basically a mimeograph letter saying, we're watching you. Good luck this year. And if you're good enough, we'll be back in touch. But it's not a copy. He did sign it. And then I have a handwritten note from Coach Hall. And this is my favorite, to my mom and dad after my freshman year. And it's really complimentary, not just on my basketball ability, but on other things. So those are the two that I kept.
Avery and I are enjoying someone trying to parallel park and not parallel parking.
Yeah, like the one favorite part about Cardtown is that you can watch all of these people attempt to parallel park.
It is.
Yesterday, I don't remember which show I was on. It was either this one or First Replay, and someone just speeds backwards into a parking space. And I'm like, what are you doing over here? People don't know how to park.
Before 2 minutes ago, Avery, had you ever heard the word mimeograph?
No.
Okay, do you know what a mimeograph is?
No.
Okay, the texter actually just texted that in. That's great. Okay, so a mimeograph is known as a spirit duplicator or a hectograph, okay? And essentially, you would put a piece of paper down and you would crank a handle and it would force the paper through and ink would go through a stencil. And so they would set the stencil with whatever the letter was, like Coach Rupp saying, hey, we're Banff, and if we care about you, we'll check back in, right? And then they would just do that over and over and over again. Did he sign it or was it part of the stencil?
What?
Rupp's signature, is it stenciled or did he actually sign it?
No, he actually signed it.
Okay. Right.
It's his signature.
Okay. Yeah. So that was before copy machines.
What it was used for a lot, Avery, was like if you were giving a test.
Yes, right.
Okay, you had a class of 30 and you were giving a test, and the teacher would run 30 copies off and then pass them out rather than have to type,
right,
30 different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the stamp version of a typewriter. I don't know. That's what my mind sees.
Well, you would have to, and the stencil, did you do the stencil on a typewriter, Louie? You would have to produce the first one.
Correct, yeah. I think that's probably right, yeah.
And then copy.
Yeah.
Then run it through the machine with the crank.
Right.
Like cranking an old car to get it started.
Photocopying gradually displaced mimeographs, spirit duplicators, and hectographs for even smaller quantities, up to about 5. A typist would use carbon paper. So there you go. How about that? A little old school mimeograph talk on a Wednesday. How about that? Bologna or salami? Mimeographs were great. Dan, go.
That is salami.
Totally salami. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
We can do NBA draft talk any day, so I'll save those for stuff. But would you?
Did you see the draft about somebody did a draft of only players in the NCAA tournament? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Without Yumbayama and
Scoot Henderson
yeah, right. And the Harrison twins, they just did a draft with the people that are in the tournament, and it was very interesting. The number one pick, of course, was Miller out of Alabama.
Yep.
Kaysen, I think, was 7th.
Okay.
Oscar and Livingston were toward the end of the second round. Jackson Davis was like in the middle of the first round. And then Oscar.
Toppin wasn't in the draft at all?
No.
Interesting.
That was one that surprised me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted before Oscar gets drafted.
Okay. Oh, I think there's no question about that.
Yeah. 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 But it was interesting to see that. This time of year, just like this article about the best people who have transferred from Kentucky's program, you got to come up with content. So. Let's do some of these interesting things.
Texter saying they passed high school because they would find the copies in the dumpster during the summer break and then keep them for the fall. That's good. That's good work. Texter. Bryce Hopkins versus Jacob Toppin. Who you got in that particular matchup? Dan. I think Toppin's got an athleticism advantage,
yeah.
but I think Hopkins is a considerably better offensive player.
Oh, no question about that. Yeah. But where my mind immediately went to was, can Toppin guard Hopkins, not the other way around.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I said this yesterday. You see this all the time. I mean, this is a revenge. You got to think that Bryce is just chomping at the bit to get out there and play against Kentucky and show him up, and that can work one or two ways. He can come out and have a great game and said I told you so, or maybe the pressure's a little too much, maybe he wants to play well so badly that it goes the other direction. But in that matchup one-on-one, I'd have to give the advantage to Hopkins.
Okay. Ton of text coming down on mimeographs.
See, that's our audience. That's our guys.
Texter, nothing like the smell of mimeograph tests passed out in elementary school. Texter, nothing like a damp ditto sheet. Texter. Oh, man. Which one was a better smell, Louie? Brand new books on the first day of school or those fresh ditto papers off the copy machine? Okay, so I obviously went through school, but I was also a teacher for a long time. There is something about the smell of the copier.
Yep.
There's something about it. I don't know. It's weird, but it's absolutely the case. But the new book thing, by the time I was teaching, it was very – the books were not nice. They were very – a lot of them were the softer covers even, right? So you didn't even get the hard covers that I had as a kid. And I don't remember the smell of those as a kid. But I do remember the copier very distinctly. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Another text. Texter thinking that Livingston may guard Hopkins to keep Toppin out of foul trouble. Do you agree with that, Dan?
Could.
I could see them throwing different guys at him. Yeah.
Could. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I would say if I was Cal, I would put Livingston on him. I really would.
Okay.
Because if he gets in foul trouble, that's not going to hurt your offense too badly. But if you get
even if he's not in foul trouble and he expends all of his energy on the defensive end, you still don't lose a lot of offense, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a good text. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the 3 or 4 point line feels right. I think it's going to be a tight game. Kentucky's played plenty of tight games this year. But I do like the fact, I do think they're going to play well being away from Rupp Arena. There's something about that. And I said that before the Vanderbilt game in Nashville. I think being away from home is going to be helpful. And hopefully for them, for their case, you know, for their sake, that they show up in whatever good version of Kentucky is against Providence. I mean, Providence will beat them if they don't show up and play well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They can't take this lightly. No. But I would think after what happened last year, I would think that Cal's got their attention. Here's one thing about Hopkins that I didn't know. He is one of the 5 finalists for the Karl Malone Award, which goes to the top power forward in the country. That's pretty impressive.
He's having a good season. That's why we have this article that was in the Herald Leader this morning, and this is this a Clay? It is a Clay. Of the top transfers out of Kentucky under John Calipari. So 15 players. Juzang, number one, they made that Final Four run with UCLA. He's in the NBA. He did not get drafted, but he's with the Utah Jazz. And to be clear, everyone's with the Utah Jazz right now.
Didn't Juzang, and I might have my years mixed up, but I think one of the main reasons he transferred was at Boston. Was it Boston who was coming in? They had recruited somebody that was thought to be, you know.
Yep, BJ Boston was coming in, and Juzang's from Southern California. So
But I think what I remember was that, you know, he thought he wasn't going to get a lot. I mean, as a freshman at UK, he didn't get much done. And then you have somebody as highly recruited as BJ Boston coming in at your position, then it makes sense that you would look someplace else. What Johnny didn't realize is that he was twice as good as BJ Boston.
You mean what Cal didn't realize is that Johnny Juzang is twice as good. I mean, let's be real about that one. That's why he's number one on this list, because that was a massive miscalculation of how good he is. Kyle Wilcher's number 2 on this list. Bryce Hopkins, number 3. Do you know what that tells me, Dan?
No.
That actually the guys who transfer out, usually they're not very good. Because this is not an overwhelming list.
No, that's what I say. Right. That if you look at this list, Juzang, I mean, I get
that. He was
a
very nice player, yeah.
Reading this, I didn't realize that Kyle went to Gonzaga and averaged 17 points as a junior and 20 points as a senior. I knew he played well. I didn't realize he played that well.
Correct. In their system, he was perfect, yes, right.
Yeah, and then that's a great point. That's a great point. His talents were much better fit with Gonzaga than they were.
No question. Yep. No question.
But then you get Hopkins, who's the hot name, and then you kind of get some guys that I don't remember, quite frankly.
Yeah. Texter pointing out. I mean, do you think if Bryce Hopkins is on the team this year playing the four, they're considerably better? Or did he have to go to a Providence and be the guy?
Yeah, I think you just hit it. I mean, he went to Providence and he got to play. I'm not so sure that he stays. No, I am sure he stays at Kentucky. He's not averaging 16 points and 8.5 rebounds. No way.
I'll be very honest. I had forgotten that Charles Matthews started at Kentucky and transferred to Michigan, because I so affiliated him with being very good at Michigan, because they got to the title game and lost to Villanova in 18. I guess he's in the G League now, but I totally forgot, not totally forgot, but you know, it slipped my mind that he had played at Kentucky before he got to before that. Texter pointing out that Gonzaga plays a high school schedule. That's also kind of true. I mean, he's going to get the points of that too, but he is very much built for the
No, he was perfect because he could. He was a standstill shooter. Right. He was perfect in that offense. Keon Brooks, number five.
Yeah, the Quade Green is seventh. I'm saying this is not.
No,
this is not a who's who.
Here's the one. If you get all the way down to number 10, this was a catastrophe because this kid, and it's Devin Askew, this kid reclassified.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the worst things that has happened in college basketball, to let these kids come in and play when they're 17 years old and should be seniors in high school. Because this kid, he wasn't close, Louie, to being ready to play in the SEC.
Right.
And as a result, you know, it was – I mean, he started – He just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready physically. He wasn't ready mentally. And then he went to Texas and, you know, didn't get much done there. And now he's at the University of California. But I thought that was that was terrible, that they let that kid reclassify and he came in and was a starting point guard at Kentucky when he should have been a senior in high school.
That's the interesting part of the class for Louisville coming up this year that Payne's working on right now, is that a lot of it seems like, revolves around Trenton Flowers reclassing and being good right away, right? And we see so many times that isn't the case. It's so hard for guys that age, that size, whatever, to come in and be effective as, like you mentioned, maybe 17, maybe 18 years old. We've seen some exceptions. Who's the kid? It was at Memphis, Dan, the big man.
And that's got, with the Pistons?
Yeah, with the Pistons, yeah. Oh, man.
Are you talking about the guy that was the second pick in the draft?
Tenth pick, yeah. The second pick for the Pistons, yes. Hang on.
Yeah.
James Wiseman, excuse me. Yeah. Very rare example of a guy who, because I think he just turned 19 with the Pistons, like just now. That's the rare guy, especially for big men, who can reclass and make that jump. That's one thing I worry about for next year, you know, for guard play is, you know, on the U of L side is getting the reclass from a kid like that and having, does he turn into a Devin Askew?
Yeah, no. I said it the other day, Louie, this is all great. Get as many five-star recruits and all those people that you can. But if you look at what has been successful lately, and we talked about Coach Gates and Missouri at the beginning of the show, and he's got all these transfers. He doesn't have any five-star prospects that are freshmen playing there. So, Kenny, that's all nice. Get Flowers. Get whoever you can get. But you better go in the transfer portal and get some people who can play, because Kenny can't afford to wait around for a team of freshmen to develop and be ready to play at the beginning of the year.
So I'm going to use a personal example. So I went to all of the nerd schools in my town where I grew up, and there were people in my schools who would skip a grade or skip two grades or whatever and move on with their life, and, you know, would go to college at like 16 or something. Or, I mean, frankly, I think my friend John went to college at 15, something like this. And of that group, like three of them out of like 15 are normal now as adults. Like, there's something – no, hang on.
No,
there's something about
it.
The normal progression of growing up that is so important. And I always thought, you know, because I think my parents had a chance to skip me a grade at one point. Like, I don't know, like first grade or something. And I think my dad was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Like, no, we're good. Because I'm already a March birthday. You know, I'm already late in the year. You know, that kind of thing. And so it's not like, you know, I was behind or something. But I think there's something to the natural progression of growing up and, you know, having that senior year in high school, having that time to develop, just the maturity aspect of it. I mean, how much is expected of Cason Wallace this year? Now, imagine asking a 17-year-old to be Cason Wallace this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Can you imagine going to college not even having your driver's license
yet? Yeah, right.
I mean, it's... Would you like to go to the dance with me? Yeah, what time you want to pick me up? Well,
we're going to Uber,
maybe.
Why
don't we just, let's just meet there.
Well, I can't get an Uber.
You can't even have
17.
A fake ID when you're 15 years old. That ain't flying.
Oh, man.
So I got to tell you, I told you that Sunday afternoon, my grandson and I go to the Nuggets game. And one of the Nuggets employees that has been there forever comes up at halftime and says hello. And Ben's drinking a beer. And the lady says, "You're 21 already?" And instead of just saying, "Yeah," he said, "No, I've got a fake ID." That boy's not the brightest bulb on the tree. Oh, man. No, I've got a fake ID.
No.
It's she always goes, so weird meeting, like, seeing people after so long. Like, it's always so weird.
At that point, if you're the lady, are you just like, you know what? Sure. Like, or did she, like, take the beer away?
No, she said, "Papa Dan." Like, it was my fault that the kid had a fake ID.
So I agree with that lady.
So I told Sheridan about the story because she and Tracy have been friends for a long, long time. And she said, "Oh, Tracy shouldn't be judging. I've got some stories. Oh. I've got some stories on Tracy." Oh, no, man. I get blamed for it. Of course, Papa Dan, what are you doing? Uh-huh.
All right, well, we got to get out of here in a couple minutes, so a reminder of the programming that's coming up here. Again, tomorrow and Friday, we will be the pregame for the NCAA tournament, noon to 3, and then at 3 o'clock, the take and the drive will take you up until 6 o'clock. We'll have 6 to midnight coverage of the NCAA tournament here on ESPN 680 105.7. And, of course, go check out the bracket challenge. We're running out of time here. ESPNLouisville.com before noon tomorrow. Go check it out. The prizes include a Gorilla basketball goal from Steepleton, a TV from RGB, passes to Bourbon Beyond, Louder Than Life, tickets to Adam Sandler. He'll be at the Yum Center. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors are putting together tailgate gear for you with coolers, bourbon barrels, neon signs, cornhole sets, the whole thing. VIP experience from the TBT with Louisville's team. You get assigned basketball, TBT gear, tickets to the games, and much more. Gift cards to our friends at Double Dogs, Bear Nose Pizza, Great Flood Brewing Company, Raising Cane's, tickets to Holiday World, AL8 basketball gift baskets, and golf passes to Wooded View Golf Club. So there you go.
ESPNLouisville.com. How about that? Plenty of gifts. Sign up.
Get in there.
Sign up now. We'll be back again tomorrow. Our regular Thursday lineup, Ben Roberts at 10:30 and Jay Davis at 11. I've got a bone to pick with Ben for not putting me as one of his 30 experts.
Bum Roberts. Bum Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we'll call him. Bum Roberts. Oh, man. Oh, this has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680 105.7. We appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. We hope you are too. Have a great day, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.